Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Data privacy. You've heard it, you see it every day, and it's really changed the way businesses have to work with their consumers. Were you one of those thousands of people affected by the data breaches of Facebook, Equifax, Yahoo, Marriott? I think I was one of those guys. And it happens to millions and millions of people all the time. So do you know your rights? And if you're a business, are you protecting yourself from a potential penalties and issues down the road? And today in the cafe, I am excited to have a data protection and privacy expert, Lily Lee, founder of the law firm Metaverse, to educate you on the laws and your responsibilities and to provide some guidance to help your business not be a casualty of these laws. Lily, welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an interesting and really valuable topic that a lot of us don't pay attention to, right? It's like the privacy statement at the bottom on our website. It's like, where'd you get that? I went on somebody else's website. Not me personally, folks, and borrowed it, or just didn't really think about all the issues that have to be addressed. And then it's like, well, it's a one and done. I have that on there, and I don't have to worry about it. So one of my first questions, it's actually a later question, but I'm going to ask it first. Do businesses believe, or what the level of responsibility do they have for people to actually read that privacy statement? And it's like, it's there. If you don't read it, it's your problem.
Well, I think the law is actually starting to change in the direction of putting more responsibility on businesses.
Okay.
The California Consumer Privacy Act is this big law that's coming into effect next year, and the Attorney General actually just released the proposed regulations under that law. And one interesting thing to note in those regulations is that they want businesses to provide privacy notices at the point of collection. So not just on the website, on the bottom, at a link, but if you're collecting data at a trade show, if you're asking people to fill out forms, to have copies available there as well.
Okay. That's going to be a huge change then, and really putting more onus on the businesses to make sure they're adhering to the laws.
That's right. And it makes sense because people, in response to a lot of these hacks, really care a lot more about their data and where it's going.
And I'll get into more of that as we go along, but I like to start by giving you the opportunity to talk about yourself and your business and to put things in perspective for the listeners.
Sure. So my law firm, as you mentioned, is called Metaverse Law, and it focuses exclusively on data privacy and cybersecurity law. So I help businesses in three different ways. One of them is to get them in compliance with different laws like the California Consumer Privacy Act, GDPR, HIPAA, a whole bunch of acronyms out there. Another one is to bring in third-party cybersecurity vendors to help conduct security risk assessments of their systems to see if they're actually implementing things. And then the last is instant response. Hopefully that never happens to any company out there, but you have to be prepared for
it. Can you explain that a little bit more? Instant response is what you said?
Incident response.
Oh, incident. Okay. So you deal with that. So it's the difference between proactive and reactive. So that's a reactive situation that there's been an issue and you come in and deal with it.
That's right.
Okay. Well, hopefully none of you out there in the radio land have been in that situation. And as we go forward and hear about some of these laws and some of the things you should be doing, hopefully we can mitigate some of that going forward. So I like to ask a couple questions before we really get going. And the first one is, when it comes to growing your business, which is now a little over a year old, what keeps you up at night?
Oh, well, lately, it's been adding on new people to the team.
Okay.
I just hired an associate and of counsel. And so, obviously, going from one person to three, there's a lot more management. I want to keep my folks engaged and excited and get them trained up, but also pay attention to my clients. And so that's just the balance that I have to deal with every day, and that's what keeps me up at night.
Okay. Well, that's a new thing for you as you start to grow your business. I'd mentioned earlier when we were talking, I've been there before. I've started, it was me. When I started my second business, it was going to be me and me myself forever and ever and ever. 5 years later, I had 20 people working for me. And I don't know how I got there. And I remember a lot of sleepless nights worrying about, you know, payroll on Friday. Were people doing what they were supposed to do? So I certainly appreciate what you're going through.
Oh, thank you. 20 people. I can't imagine that right now.
Well, I never want to imagine that again. I'm done with that. I think the highest I ever managed was, under my purview, was 85. That was for a company, but just managing 85 people was crazy to me. But anyway, so what is the best business advice you've ever given and or received?
I mean, in terms of advice that I could give anyone, okay, doesn't matter what type of business you do, it is know where your customer data is stored and how you collect it, because that's the lifeblood of your business. And if you don't know where it is or how it's managed, it can easily go away, and that's a big problem. In terms of the best business advice that I've ever received, I think, I forget who said it, but it was, you know, think about the top three things you're supposed to do every day and then break it down to the top thing you're supposed to do every day and just focus on that.
Okay.
And don't sweat the small things every single day because you'll drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I think so many people get mired in all the kind of things that they think they need to be doing and feel that pressure. And I've known people to literally shut down and not be able to do anything because they're just so overwhelmed. But that's a real simple approach, and think about what are the two or three things I absolutely need to accomplish today. And I think that's great. One of the other ones that I was told, and you might have heard this too because we're both members of Critical Mass, was we were going around the room, and one of my issues was, I'll call it time management, in the sense of I chase the shiny objects, right? The emails are popping up, or I'm looking at my phone and I'm getting deviated from my work. And now what I do is I set a clock, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and I don't do anything else. I turn the emails off and I only focus on what's at hand. And my reward is now checking my emails 45 minutes later. And that's been really helpful. So you're, I think you said March of 18, you started your business?
That's right.
Okay. So, thinking about your journey as an entrepreneur, if it was a book, what would the title be?
I think Expect the Unexpected.
Okay.
And yeah, to clarify a little bit on why I say that is that I started my practice in March of 2018, and several things happened all at once. First, I found out I was pregnant. Second, the Facebook Cambridge Analytica broke. And then third, you know, California passed its new privacy law. And so it went from, I knew the space was going to be big and I knew I was going to get busy, to this is going to be crazy. And so, yeah, I think Expect the Unexpected is a good title.
All right. I like that. I like that. Yeah, you got three surprises all at once.
That's right.
Now, in part of the way you were talking, it sounds like you're very niche-y in the sense of the verticals that you might deal with. Are you? And if so, why did you pick those verticals? Healthcare, high tech, you tell me.
In terms of industry, I wouldn't say I have a particular market niche by industry, because a lot of different industries collect customer data.
Okay.
But in terms of the subject matter, I wanted to hone in on data privacy and cybersecurity law. And the reason is that if you look at a lot of the law firms out there, they might have data privacy or cybersecurity lawyers, but they're also doing IP litigation or business litigation. Mm-hmm. And this space is changing at the speed of light. And you need someone who knows what's happening here in New York, in Europe, in Canada, in order to keep your business on track.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense then. I makes sense to me that it's really broad, but your specialty is the niche, not necessarily you're only focusing in healthcare, or you have to deal with those in probably an area that consumer products, anywhere they're collecting large volumes of data.
That's right. And we're in an information society right now. So, in fact, if you're a business and you're not collecting a lot of customer information, then you're probably falling behind your competitors.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of different laws. You mentioned some of them when we started. And there's, you know, GDPR, California Consumer Privacy Act, the FTC, HIPAA, and all these different things. Is it the business's responsibility to really understand the impact of all of those? I mean, otherwise, you know, you could be overwhelmed. And to your point, it's do you have a specialist on board? Because let's take GDPR, for example, and I'm picking that because I actually have some experience in it. Not personal, because hey, I didn't have anybody's data that somebody went after me. But I was working with a tech company that was trying to develop some GDPR. That most businesses don't understand that if you collect information on a consumer from England, for example, you're affected by GDPR, even though it's not a U.S. law. It's a European law, correct?
That's right. And so I think a lot of people, they kind of put blinders on, depending on where they're located or their industry. But for all of these laws, it really depends on who you collect data from. So you might be a California company and you collect the data of New York residents, then you might be covered by the New York cybersecurity laws and the New York privacy laws. Same with Europe, same with Canada. And then there are other regulations like HIPAA or the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act that only affect certain industry sectors.
Okay.
It's pretty confusing. And I know it's a big issue for businesses because unlike Europe and the GDPR, it's a big patchwork in the United States.
Yeah, and to your point, you're just rattling off some of these. In my mind, I'm thinking, I am already confused. I got to go back and look at my privacy statement. But so one of the things that I get in the mail all the time is, you know, how do you want me to handle your privacy?
That's right.
Right, one of those little statements. And I fill it out and I say, you know, don't distribute my... But I have no idea if that actually happens or... So as a consumer... How do I know that my data is being handled properly?
Well, luckily, you have some new rights starting in January 2020. One of the rights that consumers have is the right to know how a business shares their information.
Okay.
And whether or not they're sharing them to a third party, like a service provider, or whether or not they're selling your information. And so... obviously, this is a big compliance burden for businesses because now you have to categorize essentially how you're using your data. So that's one way consumers can exercise these rights. And a lot of businesses now are a lot more responsive. So if you look at the privacy policies, you can check out the contact information, and that's where you should send questions.
Okay. When does somebody typically engage you, though? Is it you find it's more in a proactive mode or a reactive mode?
Well, right now, most of my clients are proactive.
Okay.
If they had found me, it means they were specifically looking for a data privacy and cybersecurity lawyer, or their general counsel or outside counsel directed them to me. I think that once California's new law hits in January and we start to see some of the plaintiff's class action lawsuits spring up, then it's going to be mostly reactive.
Yeah, yeah, trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to deviate just a little bit because you're, as a law firm, a legal firm, how do you promote yourself to the marketplace to help people be aware of your services?
Well, I've been trying to tackle it in different ways. One of them is to try and just give presentations to local bar associations and at different conferences. Right now, it's just a lot about education.
Mm-hmm.
The law was passed so quickly. I think people mentioned that it was drafted in, you know, just a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
And people expect it to affect, you know, 400 to 500,000 companies. So that's one way. Another way is I have a blog at metaverselaw.com where I try to post updates on what's happening. And then, you know, luckily there are groups like Rick Francie's group where you can talk to other business owners and just really get to understand what their needs are. And that's another way where we help refer business over to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not like in a normal day, you wake up and, you know, I think, well, I've got to do a new social campaign or I've got to do a new ad or create a new video. I don't wake up in the morning saying, I got to go look at my data privacy issues, right?
That's right.
But just like IP, these need to become more of the forefront for businesses, especially as they get bigger, because I think, you know, the penalties have to be fairly stiff depending on how many are in the breach or that are compromised. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? Because I'm hoping listeners out there that you understand this isn't like you get some person out of Europe and you get fined, you know, $20 or $100 or $200. This potentially could bankrupt your business and put you out of business.
That's right. One of the big aspects of California's new law is that it has a private right of action for data breaches. And so if there's a data breach of information that's not redacted or not encrypted, someone could sue for $100 to $750 per consumer per incident. And so given that most people have, let's say you have 100,000 customer records, okay, which is not that surprising at all if you do any sort of customer goods or big scale marketing. 100,000, that's already, what, a million at the low end, 7,500,000 at the high end, mm-hmm, and that doesn't even include the legal fees in terms of defending yourself against a class action. So that's the potential universe of damages just from statutory damages.
Wow. And businesses don't really go into their annual planning and say, I think I got to put away $5 million in case I have a breach.
That's right.
Right? So it's, if it happens, it happens, and there's a lot of repercussions. And that's not the civil suits and all the other things that potentially go along with all that.
That's right. And I want businesses not to just think about this as fear of lawsuits. I want them to think about this as the fact that their customers' information really is some of the most valuable things in their business.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you need to be able to run your business and operate things and know where your assets are. It isn't just, oh, I'm afraid of lawsuits later on.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's, if you run your business that way, then you frankly shouldn't be in business.
That's right.
Wake up every day worrying about, how am I going to get sued today? So when we talk about kind of the from a business standpoint, like the HR manual, I mean, do they need to have privacy manuals and training? I mean, do you have to go in and train employees? How does all that kind of work for the listeners?
Sure. So just to be clear, the California Consumer Privacy Act has a threshold. So you need to be collecting 50,000 or more customer records or household records a year. But a lot of people hit that number already just with their website visitors and their, you know, social marketing campaigns. Actually, can you repeat the question?
Sure. Well, I was talking about, you know, if I think about HR manuals, mm-hmm, so back to cybersecurity manuals and privacy manuals, I mean, do businesses need to have these kinds of documents and their staff educated on how to deal with consumer information internally?
That's right. So under the CCPA, for example, there's a specific requirement that you have individuals at your organization who are trained on how to respond to consumer requests for information. And it's important to keep records of this training so that later on, if you have an investigation from a regulatory agency or if you're in a lawsuit, you can show the proactive steps you've taken. On the cybersecurity side, yeah, definitely. You should always have manuals and policies showing your employees and potential people who will look at your company later what practices you have in place. A statistic that's cited often is that 80% of hacks are caused by people just clicking on emails that they shouldn't be clicking on.
Sure.
Phishing emails. And so if you have a policy talking about how you train employees to recognize those type of emails and do phishing training, then you're already protecting a large portion of your business just by doing that one thing.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like really in working with someone like yourself, just some real simple guidelines that can help mitigate potential issues down the road.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me a story. Tell me a story about, and it's going to be about you, your company, your client, or just a story in the industry that people were not prepared in the kind of the repercussions that can happen. And I mentioned some of the big ones, but just tell me a story about what went wrong for an organization by not having their data protected.
I mean, I can think of just... Let me think if there's a good story.
Okay, and I'll keep talking while you're doing it, right?
Yes.
Because there's no dead air in radio. So, you know, a lot of times when we talk about things, and for me, I start talking about, you know, Unilever or Purina, and then a company that's, you know, in the $5 million range, they say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, it does, because they're all, you know, marketing strategies, and just because it works for the big guys, it works for the small guys. So really, from a let's say a three, and I don't know what kind of business size you work with, but whether it's a $3 million business or a $5 million business or a $100 million business, you're still in danger of having a repercussion. So I was thinking about a story then that says, hey, this $5 million company was, you know, collecting consumer information, they were selling it to somebody, and, you know, things went awry. And do you have any of those kinds of...
Yes. So one example I have, and this is more on the cybersecurity front rather than the privacy front, it's just a mid-sized consumer goods company, fairly small scale, and someone clicked on the wrong email that they received, and as a result, hackers were able to access the credentials for the website, and the website was down. So the website was down for a couple of weeks. And now, this isn't even a lawsuit issue. This isn't even a government fine issue. What happens if you can't sell anything for 2 weeks?
Right, yeah.
And then what happens after that when you have to essentially recover all the information, rebuild your website, and rebuild your entire brand? So the costs there were much more than you think you'd anticipate just by clicking on the wrong email.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it sounds simple, right? Somebody's just looking. I mean, you know, go back to what they talked about with the DNC hack years, you know, in the last election, that it was just somebody phishing and somebody pushed on the wrong email. And you get these things every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really do. I see some stuff that are just absolutely ridiculous. Lately, I've been getting them from Microsoft. But when I, you know, look at the email and I look at the actual structure of this email, which I don't believe anyway, it's like, okay, if you're going to try to fool me, at least make an attempt to fool me. Some of this stuff is really ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, that's a simple act that just changes your life and changes the business. So let me go back to your business for a second. As an entrepreneur, and my listeners are entrepreneurs, and you know, in that $3 to $75 million, $100 million range, which sounds like a big entrepreneur, but entrepreneurs nonetheless. What has been the biggest challenge for you in growing your business?
I think the biggest challenge, this might sound very vague, but knowing where to put my resources and where to focus. Even though I'm an attorney, I am actually a glass half full type of person. And I think for any entrepreneur, there's so many opportunities out there, whether it's going to get clients, speaking roles, educational roles, things like this, for instance. But we are all human and we only have 24 hours in a day.
That's right.
And I have a 1-year-old at home, too. And so I just need to, that's the biggest challenge, knowing what to focus on, when to stop each day, and then start the next day afresh.
Well, you know what? It wasn't vague at all, because that those are the big challenges, is really how do you utilize the time in your day to accomplish the things you need to accomplish. To your point, it's we only have 24 hours in a day. As a young mom, you probably have more that you're adding 26 and 25 and 26 and 27. I've been there. I lived that before. And that becomes a real big balance, because it is about how can you deal with your business life and your personal life, and as a parent, how do you devote that to your children? I had a guest on last week, or I guess earlier this week, and he said his son got a 15 out of a 20, failing grade, as he put it, on his test. Yet, when he talked to his son, his answer was, well, it's because you're not here. You're traveling around giving speeches all the time. You're not here helping with my homework.
Rough.
Yeah, he said, man, that was a rough one. So it is a balance. And to grow your business, and how do you make those conscious decisions? Again, I appreciate your time coming in here today to talk about this. I think it's is an absolute worthwhile subject, and I really encourage everyone to give it the attention it really needs. I've seen, having worked with a software company and developing a GDPR package, I've seen and I've read a lot of the stats and the things that can happen, and to your point, we want to create fear. But we want to create an atmosphere of being proactive, not to get yourself in those kinds of situations. Yeah?
Definitely. Yeah, don't think about this as something to be afraid of. You just take a few simple steps and you can save yourself a lot of hassle later on.
Okay. So I think my last question, Paul, I got one more question. So if we could, we've talked a lot about the aspects of this, and, you know, how it impacts businesses. So from your standpoint, what's one two pieces of advice you can give my listeners when it comes to preparing for this?
I think one I touched on before is know what data you collect and where it's housed. And that will tell you what type of security controls to put around it, and what you need to put in your privacy policy. The second one I've already discussed too. Be very, 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 very suspicious of all emails, and check them very, very closely. And if you can instill that level of suspicion into all of your staff and all of your employees, that'll do you very well. And then I think the third thing, that's a good question. The third thing I'd recommend, folks, is, you know, have a game plan for the worst case scenario in your business. Same with a PR marketing plan.
Well, it's funny. I was just going to mention crisis plan. Do you probably work hand in hand with the PR departments and within the organizations? Because if there is a crisis or an incident, as you called it, the PR folks jump into action, but you need to jump into action as well.
That's right.
All right. Well, Lily, thank you so much. This has been a really stimulating conversation. These things go by so fast, and I always say this at probably every show I've had, I say that at the very end. But why don't we tell the listeners how to contact you and to get more information on Metaverse?
Yes, so folks can contact me either by email, info@metaverselaw.com. You can also visit my website, www.metaverselaw.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive more information at theponzagroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of working with a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to share this with others so they can benefit from the great content like we have today with Lily, benefit from this content for their business. Thank you very much, and join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.